Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast. Here we interview successful people who are living a life filled with adventure, excitement, and fun. Learn where they've been. Explore where they are going. See what gets them out of bed in the morning. Find out what drives them. We will go through their lowest points. We will look at the opportunities and possibilities that are now presenting to them. Come on a journey of ignition. I'm your host, Leanne Blaney. For more information, go to ignitepodcast.com. Let's ignite. Shazar Robinson is passionate about creating new paradigms of working together to achieve a healthy planet and respect for all our human family. She is focused on spreading awareness of the essential need to care for our water, and her message creates powerful interest. Having lived and worked in India for much of the past 8 years, she has direct experience of working with the local people in villages and farms to assist them to access to water for their crops and livelihood. Hi Shazar, welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Thanks, Leanne. It's really a pleasure to be here.
Oh, I'm really excited to share your story. So shall we get started?
Sure.
Wonderful. All right. Do you want to tell us a bit about where you are now? What's actually happening for you right now?
I'm super busy right now. I'm right in the middle of organising a fundraising event called Turning Wine into Water that's going to happen at the end of the month. And that's to raise funds for a project that I'm deeply involved in India. And soon after that, on the 15th of August, I'll be heading back to India for another, I'm going back to work, I say, because that's what I'm doing. But work is a voluntary position with this organisation over there. And we do rainwater harvesting for the farmers in India. So, it's pretty challenging, but it's also incredibly satisfying. And I've been going to India for the last nearly nine years, but working with this particular organisation for a bit over 2 years.
Wow, that does sound very busy, like, and definitely challenging.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, when I'm there, I'm the only foreigner within Kui, and I don't see any other foreigners for quite a long time. I'm working only with Indians in a small organisation, but we do really good work, and they're mostly all young guys. So that's good for me because it keeps me really young. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it's good work though.
Yeah, I love that. So where have you actually been? What's your story to get to this point?
Well, that's sort of interesting because I was a health practitioner for a long time. And I mean, I've been into spiritual things and into, you know, expanding my own being for a long time and also assisting other people. But there was a certain point when I was a bit over working one-on-one and I wanted to change stuff. And anyway, I was getting to the point where it was really, well, I'm 70 now. So, you know, it was getting to the point where I was ready to do something different. And I really was waiting for somebody to come and say to me, how about you come and help me with this? And then I had like an epiphany, I guess, when I went on this seminar cruise and I happened to sit at the Indian table. Yeah, right, happened, you know, synchronicity and all of that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, while I was on that cruise, I suddenly had this realization that it was really not up to somebody else to come and ask me to help them. It was up to me to step up and say, oh, look, I'm really interested in what you're doing. Can I come and give you a hand? And that's exactly what happened. There were two ladies on that cruise, one who was deeply involved herself in social work in Mumbai, and the other one was helping fundraise for a small shelter for homeless kids. And she showed me a few photos. And I saw these photos of these kids and I went, well, I want to go there. So I went and asked these two ladies, hey, can I come and do something with you? And they both went, yes, come, you know. So long story short, I end up going for a visit, and that was the beginning of a total love affair with those children and a deep involvement with them. I'm still involved with those kids. I'm not working with that shelter anymore because of various reasons, but now I'm working with water. And that's another story, but that's what really got me into it.
Mm. So you talked about having an epiphany. Is that what's been happening in your life, that you tend to get like those epiphanies or lightning bolts, or do you go along and have this slow rumble and then think, aha, right, that's what I want to do?
Oh, I think both happen, you know. Mm. Sometimes I'll get these sort of like, oh, I have to do that, you know, and other times I'll just go, yeah, that sounds like a good idea, or somebody else will say something. But, you know, there's a lot of synchronicity in my life, really is. I mean, sometimes I put out an idea and then just, you know, you put out an idea in one direction and it's fairly focused, and then put a bit of energy towards that, and then all of a sudden something else comes in totally from left field, but it's very much involved with what you're on. And many times I find that what comes in is considerably larger than what I begin to think it is. It's quite significant, that.
Yeah. Is it like along the way you've had those challenges where you said it in the beginning, but are there challenges where you had where you thought, oh, you know, it's hard work, it's challenging when you go over there and that, but anything that made you feel like throwing in the towel?
Many things, many times. Mm. Many things, many times. You know, I can remember times when we were in the country, the kids' shelter was in the country, in the rural area. And I can remember just taking off and going and sitting up on the hill and crying and crying and crying and crying and being out there for like 3 or 4 hours, and then half the kids from the shelter coming looking for me because they were worried about me. I mean, I can tell you so many stories like that. One really funny time, we were running a summer camp for kids, and for some reason I had been put in charge of it, God knows why. And then a lot of drama happened, and I was incredibly upset one day, and I ended up in the women's hut, where the women who did the, there was about 20 of them who were doing the cooking and preparation for the cooking, and none of them spoke English. They only spoke Marathi, which is, you know, I only spoke a few words of. And I end up there and sitting on the floor in this hut crying, and these ladies patting me, and nobody knew what was wrong with me. But they were all just taking care of me, you know. But yeah, many times like that.
So what sort of has kept you putting one foot in front of the other? Do you have a big vision that just keeps you going when you do have those down moments?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I know that those down moments are just part of the challenge and part of my own growing, as it were. And some of those things that I had challenges with the kids' shelter, I moved on from that. And that it was because of some of those challenges, because I was having difficulties, particularly with the guy who ran that place, actually. But that's really another story and not one I particularly want to go into at the moment. But the thing really was that I started to look at, why are there so many homeless kids? There's supposed to be like 20 million orphans in India. You can't even imagine that. Why are there so many kids on the street? And then I started to look at the villages. And I saw that the farmers were migrating away from the villages, often leaving their wives and children behind, looking for work because they had no water. And wives and children end up following them, end up living on the street in Mumbai and the other big cities. Then something happens to mother or something happens to father, and suddenly you've got a homeless kid, you know. So I had to start looking at why that was happening. And the bottom line for me, what I saw, was that it was a problem with a lack of water. And I was looking for somebody to supply water also to the kids' shelter. And from that, I met the guy that I'm now working with. So when the challenges at the children's shelter got too great for me, I just went, okay, I can move on and I can go to the core issue and work with that. And as I said before, I still support the kids' shelter anyway. I go there regularly. I'm in regular touch with them. You know, yeah. When I go back, it's always like, madam! Yeah.
It must be so rewarding when you had that happen.
It is.
What about the possibilities that have opened up for you? Have, like, by going over and doing that work, what sort of possibilities have just opened up for you in life in general?
I'd say that huge fulfillment, you know, like a fulfillment that I haven't really known before. And the other thing, you know, through all of the challenges and all of that, the fulfillment comes in the smallest moments. You know, sometimes even sitting in a little tin shed by the side of the road with a lady who serves chai to whoever goes past, in the middle of nowhere can be like the height of things. And I mean, that sounds a little odd, maybe, but those very simple moments are just fill my heart up. Yeah. Mm. And so, yeah, what did you ask me? Sorry.
New possibilities that have opened up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the other thing is that it's not a new possibility, because my whole life, I ran my life on the idea that if I was really on track, that I would always be cared for. And I always used to say, well, I haven't slept under a bridge yet. I've been pretty close to it, but I haven't. And I've traveled a lot and I've done a lot of different things. And this time of this giving back has reaffirmed that incredibly. It's like I always receive what I need, always. Sometimes that's a bit of a slap, you know, but I'll actually always receive what I need. And it's been reiterated and reaffirmed. So that's that possibility has really been, if you like, solidified in my life, which is really great, because, you know, it's like, oh, I'm taken care of. I can relax.
Mm. Yeah. What about the future then? What's exciting about the future for you?
The event's getting pretty exciting. I mean, there's lots of things happening for that. We've been given some wonderful stuff from a silent auction. I've just been, that's been totally in flow. It's probably going to be 50 to 100 people coming, and it's just like, yeah, it's going to be great. I'm so excited about it. I'm excited about going back to India. I'm also meeting up with a girlfriend, and I think we're going to go up to Kashmir, which has been on my bucket list for a long time. So that'll be a sort of present for me. But interestingly enough, when I travel around, whatever happens where I meet interesting people, you know, it's always sharing what's going on with the water, looking at what's happening with the water challenges. So that'll be, you know, any trip I do always ends up being a study trip. yeah, there's a lot of interesting things coming up. I'm going to visit also a lady who's working with is preventing girls from being trafficked in some of the really rural tribal areas in India where I haven't been before. And of course I'll be working again with the group that I'm working with. And I just always love seeing those guys. They're just gorgeous people. Mm. And, you know, we just have such a big connection. It's, yeah, that's special. So the future for me looks pretty bright. I mean, I'm just a very lucky person.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. What about if we change pace and go to a bit of a speed round then?
Sure.
What's your favourite book?
What? I have many favourite books, many favourite books. There are so many. I mean, they're wonderful authors. I just got into Ursula Le Guin. She's just gorgeous. Yes. She just died. And I never read her fantasy stuff, but because I write, I read first a book by her, which was about writing, and that inspired me a lot. So I really like her stuff. I like fantasy, but I also really like difficult books to read, like Black Swan, Nicholas Taleb. You know, this is really complicated stuff, you know. So yeah, sometimes I get into that. Yeah, I can't tell you what is my favorite book. I don't really have one. Yeah. I just love reading.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard when you're such a book fanatic like I am too. It's always, you know, difficult to say, what's my favourite book? Well, what day is it? So exactly, today it might be a bit of a business book. Tomorrow it might be a fiction book, you know, it might be something else. So
Yeah.
Do you have a mentor figure that's helped you the most?
I have a number, actually, quite a number. I was a Rajneeshi. So Osho Rajneesh was my spiritual guru, and probably I would say still is, even though I'm not any longer involved specifically in that movement and haven't been for a long time. Now I currently have a girlfriend who's a wonderful woman who lives in South Africa, and we have regular Skype calls. I have her name is Renee Lighton, and she's just gorgeous. She's fabulous. She's an educator. She educates teachers a lot. And does a lot of really good social work in South Africa. Other friends of mine, some people from a group called Rock Your Life, Mike Hancock, Landy Jack. I've been on many spiritual journeys with those guys, and they're pretty special. Many people, I mean, who, each person I meet can be a bit of a mentor in a way, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I truly believe you can learn something from everyone.
Yes, it's right.
Yeah. Do you have a daily ritual that works best for you?
Not so much here, but in India it's much easier because I have a more regular time. Then I wake up, meditate, do a bit of exercise, drink coffee and write in my diary. Yeah. Here it's a little bit erratic because I live with somebody here, and then, you know, it's a bit different because I have other calls on my time. But basically I try to do half an hour meditation. I try to walk regularly, and I write a lot now. And that works for me. I think a daily ritual or a daily practice is very important.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
And when you say the writing, is it like journaling, or do you actually write for books and things? Or?
I journal, I write a blog, I write stuff which is for the organisation I work with. I write stuff about water, I write stuff about, I even write recipes sometimes. My blogs are a total mishmash of stuff like what happened to me when I went to the bottle shop in India, you know, or how to cook minestrone soup, or what was the big why in my life. It's a total mishmash. One day I might put it into a book, but I haven't yet.
Look forward to it if you do. Do you have a favourite food, talking of food?
I love food, and if my second love is cooking, and I love to cook, and I'm basically vegetarian. I eat some chicken, a bit of fish, but not very often. So food generally is high on my list, but lots of different things. Recently I've got into this guy called Otto Lengi, who's just does the most fabulous yummy food. And he's got really good cookbooks, so I'm really into those at the moment and experimenting with those things. And for the first time in my life, I started making bread. Somebody gave me a sourdough starter, and I'm making a wholemeal spelt bread with lots of seeds in it, because I got fed up with the bread shop because they were charging so much money for a little tiny loaf of the bread I liked. So I thought, I can make that. And now I'm learning to make bread, so that's really cool.
Oh, that is awesome. I love it. So do you like the country or the city?
Oh, both have their appeal. I love to go bushwalking. Don't do it enough. When I'm in India, I love getting out in the farms and talking to the farmers, and being in the villages is really special. That's just so special. The people are so full of heart and welcoming, and, you know, they give you their last grain of rice. They're amazing. So I really like that. The city has its attraction, you know. It's busy. It's connected. It's like that. So, yeah, both I like.
Do you have a piece of advice you can give to others to help them make change in their life?
What comes first is go for it. You know, if something comes in your mind that you think you would like to do, don't hold back. Just go do it, because nothing happens if you stand in the corner. Nothing at all. And what's going to happen if you take a wrong step? At least you took a step. And you can turn around and say, oh, that was the wrong direction. I shouldn't go in that direction. Well, you learn something, you know, but do it, yeah. And many people don't do stuff because they're afraid. Just like get out of your comfort zone, because out of the comfort zone is where it's happening.
That is so true. I love that. All right, so last question is, if you had a time machine, what would you go back and do differently or tell your former self?
One day you will realize that you are just fine the way you are. So better wake up a bit earlier and realize that, so you don't waste so much time.
It's true, isn't it? Like, we don't sort of have that realization until later on in life, and thinking, why couldn't I have thought of that when I was younger?
Yeah. But, I mean, really, if I think about my life, I actually don't regret anything. I really don't.
Yeah.
There's not any point in that. And even when I was in that miserable, poor me victim mentality, I was still learning stuff. You know, that was a time when I guess I had to do that to learn through that. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Oh, well, thank you for sharing so much of your story today. And I really acknowledge you for what you do. It's absolutely amazing and awesome. And I look forward to your book one day. But would you like to give us the best place to contact you, and we'll end it there?
Well, you can contact me at Shazard, Shazar, Robinson at gmail.com. And if you do want to have a look at my blog, it's also same name, just Shazar Robinson, no dot. So shazarrobinson.com.
Oh, excellent. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Leanne.
Igniters. Shazar says it's the simple moments that can fill your heart up, and her advice to go for it and not hold back is inspiring. If you want to contact Shazar, you can email her on shazar.robinson@gmail.com or see her blog on shazarrobinson.com. For gaining confidence in who you are and to step up in the world, go to my website, leanneblaney.com.